for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is a Saturday afternoon, December the 29th, Ladies 115 Deliverance and Teaching Meeting. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on back problems and important truths.
You know, I just had some thoughts. I ran off and left a couple of whole big bags of messages, but God was in all that. But the first thing I want you to remember is don't let the sun go down on your anger. It's not going to be a teaching on it, but sometimes if you have a long teaching, they miss the core of the message is don't let the sun go down on your anger because you give a mighty foothold to the devil. That means you open your life up to demon spirits. So you cannot let the sun go down on your anger. You've got to deal with it by sundown. The Bible says in Matthew 13 that the enemy sows tares when men are sleeping. So if you go to bed with any kind of things that are unresolved, you open up your life to the enemy.
What is that scripture?
That is Ephesians 4:26, I think. It's in Ephesians 4. And so you don't want to give the enemy a foothold. And you say, well, I'm not really angry, but I've got some issues that I'm thinking about. You see, it's if you're thinking about something that's bothering you, it's something you need to forgive. Otherwise, the next day it's unforgiveness, the next day it's bitterness, and then bitterness will kill you. It's like drinking poison, waiting for someone else to die. And then the next thing is found in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew 18 on whenever you let the sun go down on your anger, you go into a spiritual prison. That's in Matthew 5. And you know that every time you're angry, you don't go to jail in the natural. But in God's economy, because His law, you know, our laws of the land are different. But God's laws is that if you don't walk in love, you've broken God's law. Because His whole law is fulfilled in the new covenant when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. And so when we're angry with our brother, and we have till sundown to deal with it. If we don't, we go into a spiritual prison in whatever area that we are angry, and that means we become captive of the enemy in whatever area we're angry in. The next thing is God says in Matthew 18, if you don't forgive, you're turned over to the tormentors. And that means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease, and it means an inquisitor. And I believe that the Word of God bears it out that in whatever area we're sick, there's unforgiveness somewhere. And usually we think of the unforgiveness in the present, and we think, well, I've forgiven everybody in the present, but we never think to deal with unresolved childhood issues. Because Daddy's not been in my life in 60 or 70 years, I don't think that he could be the root to my bitterness and my unforgiveness. And the Bible said he sent his word to heal me, not folks. He pardons my iniquities and heals all of my diseases. He renews my youth as that of the eagle. Amen? And I believe that God wants us to live a lifestyle of repentance. It's not a one-time repentance. I really know that that's why I'm doing so good at my age, is because every day is a day of repentance. Every day I can find something I need to repent of. Amen?
Amen.
And you know where it talks about the leaf will never wither, That kind of sounds like premature wrinkling, too. Withering, you know, it says in Psalms 1, if we do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or sit in the seat of scorners, or stand in the place of sinners, but our delight is in the law of the Lord, and day and night we meditate on His Word, we'll be like a tree, and the Living Bible says, like a tree planted by the riverbanks, always bearing luscious fruit, each season without fail, and our leaf will never wither, and everything we do will prosper. And when David said in Psalms 32, I'll confess my faults while there's still time before judgment overtakes me, or, no, that's not the scripture, but that's a good one. That means I'm going to get it right before the devil gets his teeth in me. Where it says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. And that means, in the Hebrew, my body became old and worn out. Repentance renews you, revives you, invigorates you. I can tell you that I feel better at almost 70 than I did when I was 25. Because I just keep on repenting. And when there's a problem, I say, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? Did you know there's a lesson in everything that God has? Everything you go through, there's a lesson in it. And if we don't learn the lesson, we're like the children of Israel, back around the mountain, around the mountain. You see, how you were trained up as a child is your wilderness that you have to overcome. My set of circumstances growing up that I didn't resolve as a child is different from yours. And so we all have a land to possess. And the land we have to possess is what we didn't possess in childhood. How you're trained up sets the stage of what you have to overcome, right? Because as children, we don't know we can go to God. We don't know that we're not to let the sun go down on our anger. Because we weren't taught that. We don't know that, so we turn to other gods. And so these are the gods we have to conquer now. So problems are good. The next thing is, they are. I mean, you know, if you cut your finger and it bleeds, and it didn't hurt and bleed, you'd cut it off.
Yeah, that's right.
So when we have pain in our circumstances, it's God's alarm system trying to get our attention. My daddy says, you know, God's just trying to tap you on the shoulder. And by the way, he was diagnosed a few months ago as having a cancerous tumor on his kidney. Now, he's 93. Now, my dad's always been the kind of man, he regrets things he's done. And when I think about my dad growing up, I see my dad was such a good man. I don't see a lot of things. You know, he was a good example to us. He didn't pray with us, but he taught us about Jesus, and he made a lot of mistakes. But I saw my dad, I don't know of anything that he really needed a big repent of, but before I knew him, there were things I know that he did that he regretted. So I've never seen him to be a person that confessed his sins. Well, your kidney purifies your body, like confessing sins purifies your spiritual life. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so I shared with my dad. I said, Dad, you know, confessing your sin purifies your system, like your kidney purifies your physical body. Confessing your sins purifies your spiritual body. And I said, I really believe if you'll start confessing your sins, you'll be healed. You know, things that, and I didn't tell him what I just told you. I did it a little bit more tactfully. And he said, you know, if I had to confess all my sins, he said, I'd never get through. I said, you know what? God's responsible for that. Don't get overwhelmed. Well, just ask God to show you. And can I tell you that my dad is not on any medication. He did. The doctor says, you know, when you're 93, don't try to do no tests. Don't try to, you know, just leave well enough alone.
Good.
And so he went home, and when I call him, he's got such a strong spirit. And I said, Dad, I think, you know, God's healed you. And he said, yeah, I don't feel no thought, no pain. I mean, he was feeling such a pain. He was bleeding around this whatever was supposed to be. And I believe God's healed him just through repentance. So praise the Lord.
And he was on hospice.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't look for him because he wasn't...
Hospice, and we have hospice. Hospice is taking care of him. And the hospice doctor came. I don't know if they're doing this because my sister needs help. Somebody coming in 2 or 3 days a week. But the other day, the doctor came in to he lives in a, he has his own apartment.
A retirement village.
It's a retirement village, and he has his own apartment, and nobody takes care of him there. He just has his own apartment. And the hospice doctor came in, and he was looking for Mr. Reddick at the front desk, and Dad said, that's me. And anyway, Daddy walked him to his little house, and he said, I've never met a man 93 years old in your good condition. Now, this is what the hospice doctor said. I don't know why hospice is still coming. But I just know he's healed. He said, I think I'm well. No, it's hospice that comes in your last days because the doctor gave him 6 months. But I got news for them. I said, you're the toughest old bird I know.
Tell hospice they're finished.
They're finished in Jesus' name. But anyway, repentance does a healing work in your life.
Right.
He sent his word to heal you. There is a spiritual root to why you get sick. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28 that sickness is a curse.
Yeah.
And then it says in Proverbs 26:2 that a curse without a cause cannot light. So if I don't look for the spiritual root to it, I can go to the world and slap a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem, but there's no healing until I find why. And a lot of times, I may be walking in repentance, and I don't know of any sin that I need to confess because I'm confessed up. But you know, there's a lot of things that happened in my childhood that I've long forgotten, that I let the sun go down on, that I became bitter about, and am not even aware of it. I've had people say, you know, I've already confessed all my sins when they have a physical problem. I said, you know, you may think you have, but get in the mirror of the Word of God and you'll see so much sin you won't even be able to hardly believe it. A few years ago, my eyes, I was having such problems with my eyes, and I could be in a dark, dim place, and even with my glasses, I couldn't see. So I just started pulling up on the computer, dim, dull, darkness, and begin to repent over those scriptures. And within an hour, when I got on the computer, it was just a blur without my glasses. And after an hour or maybe 2 hours of doing that, I could barely make it out without my glasses. So I thought, you know, I'm on the right track. And my eyes, I still need to do some word studies because the answer is in God's Word. I was completely repentant up, prayed up, couldn't think of one thing I hadn't confessed. But when I got into those scriptures, haughty eyes God will abase. Arrogance, haughtiness. I saw so much pride in my life. You know, the Bible says Moses was the meekest man that lived upon the earth. His eye was not dim, nor was his strength abated at 120 years old. And so, meek is the opposite of pride. You know, with our eyes, we can look with pride. We can condemn with our eyes. We can pity with our eyes. We can lust with our eyes. Our eyes are the index of the soul. And I saw one of the major roots to eye problems is pride. And I tell you, after 2 hours, I saw so much pride in my... I saw so much sin in my life I didn't know I had. So you got to... If you're looking for a physical problem, you need to get into God's Word. And whatever your symptoms are, pull it up on the computer. If you don't have a computer, get an exhaustive concordance. If you don't have a Bible program, I think y'all have one off of your website, don't you? And on my website... you can pull up, or you can just on the browser, esword.com. and that's a free Bible program. And you can pull up all the scriptures on eyes, arm, legs. I mean, it's little e, SWORD.com.
And there, Bible Gateway is another
one. Yeah, there's another one. And they're free. Anyway, God says he sent his word to heal you. He didn't say he sent folks to heal you. He sent his word to heal you. And a fainting spirit. You're a fainter if when you are just maybe having a happy day, but then you have a circumstances hit and you take a nosedive.
Did you say faint or faint?
Fainter, a fainting spirit. You know, like I'm having a happy day and then a circumstance hits and all of a sudden I'm just like one of those little paper airplanes. Shoo, quonk. You know what I'm talking about? You know where that comes in? Because you have a perverted image of what God's truly like. You judge your mother and father for their failures, and unconsciously you're judging God just like you judged your mother and father. It says in Hebrews, when you go through trials, receive God's discipline. The reason we faint is we don't go to God with our problems because we were trained up that mother and daddy don't help you with their problems, and they don't have any answers for your problems, and they're the source of your problems, and they won't forgive you. They're selfish. They're whatever. So unconsciously, God's the same way. Well, don't go to him. He's selfish. Don't go to him. He won't help you. And so we faint because we have a perverted image of God. And that perverted image comes in when we judge God like we judged our mother and father. And if you're married, you're judging your husband the same way as you judged your mother and father. And if you're not married, you've got kids that remind you of what you shouldn't have done or what you should have done. A lot of times when one of my family members does something that grieves my heart, I think, you did it too. And see, that's the log in my eye that I've got to deal with before I can deal with their speck. And when you deal with your logs, then usually their specks just roll out of their eyes. And so you have a fainting spirit if every time you go through a trial, you take a nosedive. You have a fainting spirit if you're married and every time you go through a trial, you want a divorce. How I learned about a fainting spirit is because every time things didn't go my husband's way for 27 years, he wanted a divorce for 27 years. And I didn't grow up around fainters. I grew up around people that make you faint. I thought, what is this? I've married a mentally ill person. I did. I thought, I mean, if he had a bad day, he'd stay in bed till 1 o'clock. And I grew up with a mother that when she had cancer of the ovary, she missed 2 weeks of work. And I tried to help her, and she liked to wore me out, following her around. In 1978, she had ovarian cancer, and I stayed with her. And she said, Jerry, I don't think that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. And I led her to the Lord, and that was in 78, and she lived until the year 2000. God totally healed her. And praise God. You see, sometimes when we have a physical problem, it's God trying to get our attention about something. And we all have little physical. I've got a few little physical things that I'm believing God for. I know the answer is not out there in the world. Henry Wright says that when we go to the world, we are trying to unconsciously bypass the penalty of sin. And sin has a penalty. You know, Jesus healed a man, and he said, now don't go and sin again lest something worse happens to you. Now, that's not always the case, because there was another time the disciples came to Jesus after he healed this blind man, and they said, Lord, why is he blind? Because of his sin or his mother and father's sin? And Jesus said, he's not blind because of anybody's sin. It was for the glory of God. But in that glory, he turned and healed him. He didn't leave him in that condition. So if you find out the cause of the curse, healing can come unless God wants to take you to heaven. And if he wants to take us to heaven, why are we trying to find some man to fix us and torture us worse? Amen? I'd rather take my chances with God. Now, I don't want to go through no pain.
Well, it's time to be
You know, my son, when he died of AIDS, he I'm telling you, his body, his around his rectum was herpes lesions around his rectum. His testicles were this big. His feet from 10 and a half were size 13. And we didn't weigh him, but he looked like a Holocaust victim. He was so skinny. He had a Kaposi sarcoma, which is cancer of the small blood vessels. He went blind in one of his eyes from looking at pornography. But you know what? He died without any medication and free of pain.
Wow.
The hospice nurse that came out to help me, because he got to where we couldn't bathe him, we needed a hospital bed. She said, "What kind of medication is he on?" I said, "He's not on nothing." She said, "You better get some morphine, because AIDS patients die such a torturous death that even with medication, they have to be tied to the bed because of the pain." So I got the medication because I didn't want him to suffer. But, you know, I never gave it to him. The day before he died, I said, "Son, does anything hurt you?" He said, "No, Mom." And he said, "Mom, do you think I'll have to suffer before I die?" I said, "Son, if you don't think you're suffering, I don't think you're going to have to suffer any worse than you are suffering." I mean, and he had a constant cough. He had to wear a diaper. But he died totally free of pain, and we were singing to him when he died. He died at home, not in the hospital. He died at home. He was on no medication and had no pain medicine and had no pain. You know, pain is rooted in vexation of heart. God says, remove vexation from your heart and you can put pain out of your body. Now, that's what God's Word says about pain. Vexation is anger, grief, wrath, hurt, provocation, and idolatry. In other words, there's something there where you've turned to an idol that's causing the vexation. You know you have an idol when you have depression, when you have hurt, when you have anger, when you have fear. Negative emotions are rooted in idolatry. And if you were here for the shame message, you saw in Deuteronomy 32 the progression of idolatry, of the different things that idolatry opens us up to. And then the next thing that, so if you have a fainting spirit, you need to go back and forgive your mother and father for all the negatives in their lives. And don't just say, "I forgive them for all their negatives." Name them one by one. "I forgive them they weren't there for me. I forgive them they didn't love me. I forgive them that they didn't protect me. I forgive them they didn't talk to me. I forgive them for abandoning me." And then renounce the lie that God's the same way. Because however you thought of your mother and dad is how you're thinking. Unconsciously, you're thinking God's the same way, and that's why you faint. You believe the lie that God's just like your daddy or just like your mother. And then if you faint, you also have a root of bitterness that goes with that. So that's a fainting spirit. And the next thing is honoring your father and mother. In any area you're not honoring your father and mother, life's not going well for you. Now, honor doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to pattern your life after them, but it means that by sundown you forgive them for their poor stewardship. In whatever area that you could or could not honor your mother and father, life's not going well for you right now. Well, that honor means forgive.
Yeah.
And it says, "Honor your father and mother that all may be well with you and your days will be long upon the earth."
Right.
Right? So there's a long life is one promise. The other promise is if you honor, which means forgive, your mother and father, life's going well for you.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? We think honor means carrying around on a pedestal and fellowship with them and all that.
To figure out every area.
Well, you know, God says that, yeah, but God says in His Word that the day of the Lord will come. Until the day of the Lord comes, the Father's hearts have to be restored to the children and the children's hearts to the fathers. You see, that ties in. And that's what repentance is, because you can't, without dealing with, you can deal with right here, and you can try to forgive somebody up here, but it won't go away. You know how when you try to forgive somebody, and you say, I forgive them because I know I'm supposed to, but yet you're always arguing with them in your mind? You can't get over it because it's a childhood issue. When you forgive your mother and father, this turkey up here is easy to forgive. But if you're trying to forgive the turkey up here that's getting on your last nerve, and it won't go away, and you can't forgive him, it's rooted in an area where you've not forgiven your mother or father. Sanctification is a process.
And we need the Holy Spirit to show us.
That's right. I mean, I've gone through all the motions of the list.
God can show
you. Yeah.
That's right.
See, sanctification takes a lifetime.
We're not going to have a long time left.
But you have a lifetime.
Even if it's tomorrow.
In other words, if God's numbered your years to be 60 years on this earth, you've got 60 years.
I got 1 year left.
Well, and you know, we may think we've honored our father and mother. And you know, I've apologized to my dad for a lot of things. And you know what my dad said to me? Jerry, you have always honored me. But, oh, no, I haven't. I mean, I have forgiven my parents for thousands of things. Millions of things. Not millions, but thousands. And I had a good mom and dad. But any place a parent violates this word, you automatically have an issue. You may not even think that they did anything wrong because you never knew anything different. But God says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So if a parent don't bring you up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, he provokes you to anger. So what that's saying is, any place mom and dad misses one of God's principles, you automatically have an anger issue. Unless you turn to God with it, but we don't know to do that. So we turn to a promise, when I grow up, life's going to be different. But praise God, you know, we have, God uses the life that he gives us here for the sanctification process. And then when we step into heaven, he just jerks us into perfection. But these things are things we have to overcome. You see what I'm saying? It's living an overcoming life. In the areas that we didn't overcome as children, now we get another opportunity to do that. Okay, I want to share that. And every place that you don't honor your father and mother, life's not going well. Hello? You know, you can stand up right now and say, okay, Lord, where is my life not going well? You can trace it back to the violating that principle in God's Word. And then the next thing is not even related. I felt led to take you through some scriptures on back problems. I know you don't all have back problems. Maybe those of you who don't have back problems, this will prevent you from having back problems.
Amen.
And if you have a back problem, I just trust God's going to heal you today.
Amen.
And so I'm just going to go through some scriptures. Your back is the place where you carry burdens. If somebody in your lifetime puts burdens on your back, you can't see it, but you can feel the burden. It's like if you have eyes to see like angels and demons see, you can see a burden on somebody's back. I had a lady from, a pastor from another state call me. I don't even remember her name, but she said, I'm getting ready to have back surgery. I mean, hip surgery. Do you have any insights?
If you have any insights into why I have a hip problem. And I said, well, and she says, I pastor a church. She said, when you were a child, did you have to carry your brothers and sisters on your hip? She said, yeah. I said, now you're a pastor and you're still carrying your congregation on the hip.
Mm-hmm.
She said, yeah. You see, you were trained up to carry people on your hip.
Yeah.
So you're still doing it. However you're trained up is what you're still doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so she said, my mother was sick and I had to take care of the family. I had to carry all the burden. And anyway, and I said, well, now you're still carrying them on your hip, your congregation. She said, you don't have to pray for me. I'm already healed. You see, the truth made her free. And so, for example, in her situation, in the spirit, because she was angry and bitter because she had to carry her brothers and sisters on her hip, she missed her childhood because she had to be the mommy. See, the anger and the bitterness had bonded in the spirit. Her brothers and sisters were still on her hip. And so if somebody puts a burden on your back as a child, or then you're going to probably marry somebody that puts burdens on your back. You still have whatever they put on your back in the spirit. And so how you get over that is you forgive and you break soul ties and take the sword of the spirit and say, I cut that off my back in Jesus' name. Another root to a back problem is wounded spirit. You know, we think our bone frame holds holds us up, but our spirit man is what holds us up. And this is what I see in my dad. He's got such a strong spirit man that I can, on the telephone, I can hear his strong spirit. He doesn't sound like a dying man. But your spirit is what holds your body up. And if you've had a wounded spirit just crushed to the bone as a little child, what happens is it throws your back off and it causes back problems. You see, you need to get your spirit healed, and then it can put you back in alignment with the way God wants you to be. And that's a person that was just so crushed and so extremely wounded when they were a child or even as an adult. Usually, if you were wounded as a child, then you're going to be wounded your rest of your life until you deal with it. But if you were trained up in the way you should go, somebody can do something that hurts you and you can bounce back real quick because you were loved and nurtured growing up. But if you were crushed as a child and you don't deal with it, it just sets in motion forces that cause you to keep on getting crushed. I had somebody, a precious person, say, you know, wherever I go, authority crushes me. And you see, that's rooted back in childhood issues of being always put down, crushed, never be good enough. And there could be many, it could be more than one thing that person has to deal with. It could be just like layers of hurt and pain, of not measuring up.
So it's been many nights.
That's right. And you let the sun go down on your anger and your hurt, and it sets in motion forces for everybody to keep on hurting you, keep on crushing you, keep on crushing you. And it won't stop. It'll go right into the grave if you don't say, hey, wait a minute. God, let's deal with whatever here. And it's like peeling an onion. It may be 500 different things you have to deal with. But if you say, this is always happening to me, see, that goes back to judgments on mom and dad, which sets the ball a-rolling for you to keep on experiencing the same things that you experienced in childhood until you go back and forgive and put the blood of Jesus between you and that reaping process, and then God changes your reaping. Lord, there's just things hidden that we don't see. And we prophesy that you'll show us every hidden thing. And Lord, we just praise you. We praise you for the sanctification process. And you know, you're going to either get bitter or better by the things you go through. I choose better. Bitter will kill you. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Okay, the next root to a back problem is the spirit of Leviathan, which is the spirit of pride. Excessive burdens. There's another scripture that says, lay down and let the enemy make your back a sidewalk. And that means that's a picture of a person that has so much fear of man that they let everybody run over them. Not that Jesus didn't want us to turn the other cheek, but we don't have to lay down and make our back a sidewalk.
not that cheap.
No. another root to back problems is having a Pharisee spirit.
Sorry.
It says the Pharisees put excessive burdens on men's backs, and they weren't even willing to lift a little finger to help. They tied heavy burdens to men's backs. So if you grew up around Pharisees or people that were perfectionistic or legalistic, they tied excessive burdens on your back, and they weren't even willing to lift a finger to help you. Another thing is vexation, beatings, being whipped, physical abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse. Vexation means grief, anger, hurt, provocation, idolatry. Because see, wherever I turn to something else in my pain, there's the idolatry. If I turn to God in my pain, I don't have the vexation. Another thing is feeling like nobody... Well, let me share about the beatings. I shared this in a meeting in another little town, and about a lady that had back pain so bad that on Friday night of the seminar, her husband said she's got such pain and she's on this some kind of machine that's supposed to take away your pain. I don't remember what it was. But she had had back pain her whole life since she was a little girl. And she happened to come to the next day, she came to a meeting, and she said, well, I was always beaten growing up. And then the Lord just showed me she had a wounded spirit. And so when she forgave her mother for beating her back problems were healed. I shared this in another town, and there were about 12 people in a seminar that had their backs healed or their bottoms healed because the anger and the unforgiveness that they held toward their parents for those beatings had bound them to the pain. You see, wherever you're hurt, if you don't forgive them, you'll be tied and bound to that person. If somebody slaps you in the face when you're a little girl, for example, and you let the sun go down on your anger, 50 years later, you may be looking for why you have a pain here in your face, and it's like that person who slapped you, you didn't forgive them, their hand is still there in the spirit realm. It's the same with burdens on the back. And so that binds you to a soul tie. Wherever you're hurt, physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually, spiritually, if you let the sun go down on your anger, you're still hurting in those areas because you're bound to the soul tie to the person who hurt you. I had a man who had come out of a homosexual lifestyle, and he attended probably 20 of my seminars. Him and his son was healed of bipolar after the third seminar. And he called me, so he knew a lot of these principles, but he called me and said, do you have any insight into why, he said, I have an excruciating pain in my rectum. Do you have any insight? And I said, yes, break soul ties with whoever you've had anal sex with. And he emailed me shortly after that. He said within seconds after he forgave a person who he had had anal sex with in a homosexual lifestyle, he was instantly healed. You see, he was carrying the pain because through a soul tie, he was still bound to the man who had sodomized him. And it was probably consensual. I mean, he probably, because he had come out of that lifestyle. And so whoever hurts you, if you hold unforgiveness, you're going to keep hurting in whatever area they hurt you, and you'll be bound to a soul tie. Now, you can't see a soul tie with the physical eyes, but you can, if you could see like angels and demons see, and like God sees, you could see that person still tied to you through a soul tie, and wherever they're tied is where you're still hurting. So God says remove vexation from your heart, and you can put pain out of your body. And then the next root to back problems is feeling like nobody supports you. You have no support. You have to do everything yourself. Another one is that you can't cope with emotional difficulties, and that comes in childhood when you didn't learn to cope as a child and you didn't have nurturing, protecting, loving parents. You know, we just don't realize the seriousness of bringing up a child. You know, we're all victims of how we were trained up, even if you have the best parents or the worst parents. But you know what? Christianity is the only religion where you can reclaim lost opportunities. Glory to God. You can be healed. And God knew all this from the beginning of the creation. And praise the Lord. You know, when we sing this song, I'll never get over the life He's given me. You know, when I sing that song, I just say, God, You have given me such a wonderful life. But even if you think God hasn't given you a wonderful life, think, you know God today for eternity. What you've gone through or endured on this earth is nothing compared to eternity with Him. That's the greatest gift if you never thought you ever got another one. So we might as well just get over it and learn to overcome. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. The next thing is feeling burdened emotionally can bring back problems. Feelings of frustration. Or have you ever had anybody ride your back? And you grew up and there's somebody always on your back about something? Can I tell you they're still there if you haven't forgiven them? They're riding you piggyback in the spirit. Hello. And then being a scapegoat. I remember praying for a girl who grew up in a satanic family, and then she got into Satanism because that's all she'd ever known. And I remember praying for her once when she was made the scapegoat of this coven, or I don't know what you call a satanic circle, or of the satanic group. She was made the scapegoat. And what they did is they put her out in the middle of a circle. And grandfather would come and say, I put my cancer on you. And then somebody else would say, I put my unforgiveness on you. Somebody else would say, come and I put my bitterness on you. And as we begin taking those things off, she began to get free. And so every family has one family member that gets the brunt of it all. If somebody has a bad day, they take it out on the scapegoat. So if you were made the scapegoat, they were putting things on your back and on you. Another route to back problems is looking back. What happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? She turned into a pillar of salt. I'm just going to go through here. I'm not going to do all of them. I just marked some of them. Another one is turning back from God's covenant. Deuteronomy, y'all might want to list these scriptures. Deuteronomy 28:60 says, and He'll bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they'll cling to you. And verse 68 of Deuteronomy 28, He says, I'm going to bring you back to Egypt, back to the world in ships. In other words, you're going to come to God, but the curse is I go back to the world. And that's a curse. The next scripture is Joshua 7:8, turning back in fear. I didn't go on and pursue things. I got afraid and I turned back. And that's Joshua 7:8. O Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? You know, God's our weapons are in the front. It says God will be, the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. Right? And so we're supposed to pursue the enemy. We're not supposed to turn our back on him. And another route to back problems is going back to cling to the nations or the world, to marry non-believers and associate with them. It says there'll be a whip to your sides, thorns in your eyes, and you'll perish. And that's Joshua 23:12-13. Another one is turning back when a leader dies. In other words, you only follow God when you got somebody telling you what to do. When the leader dies, are you going to keep following God because you love God, or are you following the leader? Judges 2:19. Another one is turning back and not following God fully and justifying your partial obedience. And that's 1 Samuel 15:11. That's when Saul didn't follow God fully. It says that Caleb and Joshua in Numbers 13 and 14, they followed God fully. It was a picture of them walking in the Spirit and following God fully. And another one is turning back before you overcome your enemies. 2 Samuel 22, 38. And then casting God behind your back is another route to back problems. 1 Kings 14, 9. You also have done more evil than all who were before you, and have gone and made for yourself other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Another one is because of you've been angry at God and raging against Him. The Bible says your arrogance, because of your arrogance, He's going to put a hook in your nose, a bridle in your lips, and you'll be turned back to from where you came. And that's 2 Kings 19:28. I remember praying for a lady in Bridge City. She said, "I feel like I got something in my jaw." And I didn't even know this lady. And I quoted this scripture, "Lord, forgive me for my arrogance." And she went, "Yeah, I've been arrogant." "Lord, forgive me for turning my back on you. And forgive me for raging against you." And she went, "Yeah," like that. And I just said, and I take that hook out of her jaw. She said, "Oh, it's gone." You see, in the Spirit, there's things in us. We read scriptures like that. There's a hook in your jaw, and you just kind of pass that off. But in the Spirit, there is a hook in your jaw. So that's one of the roots to jaw problems. Another one is biting and devouring with your jaws. Another one is wickedness. God said, "I'll break the jaws of the wicked." You may not be wicked, but you could have had wicked forefathers. God says it's wicked to not forgive. And then another one, when evil is sweet to your mouth, Job 20:23 talks about like a sword going forth out of the back, even the glittering point from his gall. So that's, evil is sweet to our mouth. It's, why is it we love to curse, we love to gossip, we love to criticize? I don't know about you, but I came out of a family of it, and I'm just now overcoming it after some severe discipline by the Lord to teach me to keep my mouth shut.
So that scripture again.
Job 20. It says, evil is sweet to our mouth, and we won't let it go. And I thank God for His discipline. I developed a skin cancer in my nose. And that's what the Lord showed me. Judging and then speaking what I judge. You better keep your mouth shut. And I believe it's healed in Jesus' name. And I went to the world once to get it done, and it didn't heal it. It just came back. In fact, He didn't even get it off. He just put 8 stitches in my nose the size of a kidney bean. And I tell you, it took me a lot. I knew that if I didn't forgive that doctor, that it'd be worse. And every day, every time I'd think of that man, it'd make me so mad. I'd have to forgive him all over again. But I can tell you today, I have forgiven him.
Have you forgiven yourself for doing that?
Yeah, okay, I have. I've forgiven myself. Good. And God's even given me some insight as to why I got attacked. So that makes it easier when you see what you've done wrong to forgive. You get what you deserve. The next route to back problems is being an enemy of God, of God's children. If there's Christians that you're an enemy of, God says you will be turned back. Psalm 6:10 says, "All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back and they shall suddenly be ashamed." And you can read that. And then it's Psalms 9:3. There's lots of scriptures that say that. Psalm 56:9, "Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call." And then the next thing is being of Ephraim. You know, the Bible says Ephraim turned back in the day of battle, and he was determined to follow man's command and not God. In Psalm 78:57, it says, "But turned back at the children of Israel," which was Ephraim, "turned back and acted treacherously like their fathers. They turned aside like a treacherous bow." As I'm naming these things, be repenting. You know, like if you hear, be repenting whether you think you did it or not. And then turning back to folly. Folly is the opposite of understanding. The Bible says, give me understanding that I may live. Hosea chapter 4 says, the people without understanding are ruined. Proverbs says, forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. So understanding and folly are two different things. I'm sorry, are the same thing, but one's a negative and one's the positive. Psalms 85:8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones, but let them not turn back to folly. Now, that's a picture of me walking with God, and all of a sudden, I decide that I want to go back to folly. Turn back to folly. Another one is, the plowers plowed upon my back and have lengthened their cords. And it's plowers like demons with little plows. They're plowing up furrows in my back. And you might want to, I don't know the root to that, but it's in Psalms 129:3. The plowers plowed upon my back. They lengthened their cord. They lengthened their cord, their furrows. And then I had my back healed once when I repented over this scripture. I got a crick in my back when I was pastoring a church, and I thought, well, it just worked itself out, and it didn't. Some people in church prayed for me, and this little voice said, you're not healed. And when you're believing God to heal you, and somebody's praying for you, and this little voice says, you're not healed, you're not. Can I tell you, you're not? And so I kept thinking it would work out, and it didn't. So one day before church, I repented over 300 back scriptures. And so when I was dressing, I heard this voice say, you're healed. And my spirit man went, yes! I mean, I had faith. It would just rose up because my conscience was clear. It says in 1 John 3:21, when your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. Now, I still had a crick in my back, but can I tell you, you couldn't tell me I wasn't healed. Because, see, the gift of faith was there when my conscience was clear. And by the time I got to church, that crick was totally gone. But this is these are the scriptures that I'm reading now is the one that God used. I didn't think I'd backslid, but it says in Proverbs 26 that a fool gets a rod to his back. Now, you don't see the rod. It's a spiritual rod that's to your back. And it says in Proverbs 26:3, a whip is for the donkey, a bridle for the mule, and a rod for the back of a fool. And then it says in Proverbs 10 that if you lack understanding or you lack wisdom, you get a rod for your back. Proverbs 10:13 says, on the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding or lacks wisdom. And this one was, these three, this one was one that really spoke to my heart. Now, those who have a foolish mouth get a rod to their back. And it's Proverbs 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back. You know, if you're an outgoing, talkative personality like I am, you say a lot of words that you shouldn't say. And that one there was so convicting that I had a rod to my back because I had not guarded my words. And then Proverbs 19:29 says, a fool gets blows to the back. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and blows for the back of a fool. You know, maybe you've been a scoffer. And if you haven't been a scoffer, maybe you have family members that are scoffers. It grieves your heart so much to hear an Antichrist spirit speaking through people you love. It's grievous. And then the Bible says the righteous give and won't hold back. That's Proverbs 21:26. And then holding back discipline from a child creates a fool. Children today, most of them have mental problems because of the lack of discipline. It's frightening to think when this generation grows up what's going to be running this country. We've been destroyed by the television. I was thinking the other day when they had a documentary on CNN about the life of Jesus, and then there was one on Fox News about the life of Jesus, and I heard just a few words of those things to know those documentaries. They were perverting the gospel. Yeah. leaving out a word, leaving out of here. Did you know Rupert Murdoch, that owns Fox News, owns all the Bible companies? At least he owns a friend. I haven't checked that out thoroughly, but a friend told me he owns all the Bible publishing companies. I know he owns Zondervan. And he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is for one world government. He's a member of Rick Warren's church, who also is a member of Council on Foreign Relations. And so, you know, that's that whole Antichrist system. I've thought this for years, and this is not gospel. This is just something I've thought, that God's, that Fox News will be used to bring in one world religion, because they talk about God all the time. I'm not surprised, and I can't prove that, but I've thought that.
I believe it.
Because it's perverted. It's like almost every one of these news people on Fox News are Catholics and claim to be Christians, most of them. So, Lord, we just put that on. Lord, if that's true, confirm it. If it's not, chunk it. Okay, the next one is... that's Proverbs 23:13. Do not hold back discipline from the child, although you beat him with the rod, he'll not die. And what I thought is, most kids don't even hear about the life of Jesus. All they get is what's on CNN or Fox News, and it's a perverted, leaving out words, that key words, like maybe Jesus being a man, and ignoring the fact that he was God. Another one is turning back in the day of distress, Proverbs 24:10-11. If you're slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. And then it says, deliver those who are being taken away to death, and those who are staggering to slaughter, hold them back. Another one is stubbornness will keep you from turning back to the Lord, even after you're stricken, Isaiah 9:13. Yet the people do not turn back to him who struck them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. And then being wise in your own eyes would cause you to draw back. I don't think I am anymore, but I'm telling you, there was a time when I was so wise in my own eyes, my husband told me I ought to be on the Watergate hearings. That's not true of me anymore, but there was a time when I just was a know-it-all. And now I'm a semi. I prophesy that I'm not a know-it-all anymore. And then, you know, not being a disciple. The Bible says the disciple will not turn back, nor will he be disobedient. Isaiah 54, God says, I'll give you the tongue of a disciple, that you can sustain the weary one with a word, and morning by morning I'll open your ears to listen as a disciple, and you will not be disobedient, nor will you turn back. And then, so not being a disciple is someone that lets God discipline them. And I believe the Word of God teaches that only disciples get to heaven. Our doctrine that there's the saved, there's the carnal, and there's the spirit-filled, that's a false doctrine. There's either saved or lost. And if you're not a person that's denying yourself and taking up your cross, can I tell you, you're not saved? Hello? Being a church member isn't going to get you to heaven. And a prayer is where it starts, to receive the seed of the Word. But Jesus said, if any man will come after me, he has to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And, you know, I've seen so many people that say they're just ho-hum God, they're ho-hum the Bible, they're ho-hum this, they're ho-hum that, they're not excited about God. But yet they're saved. They prayed a prayer 20 years ago. Can I tell you, they're going to hell if they don't repent? Because God says if you're just lukewarm, you're going to get spit out of his mouth. So we've been listening to doctrines that are not right. And then we're letting the enemy make your back a sidewalk is Isaiah 51:23. And then holding back from telling people about their sin because you fear man, Isaiah 58:1. saying to an idol, you're my father and you gave me birth, is turning your backs to the Lord and not your faces to him. Jeremiah 2:27. It says in Jeremiah 18:17, when we turn our backs to the Lord, he turns his back on us. Like an east wind, God says, I'll scatter them before the enemy. I'll show them my back and not my face in the day of their calamity. And then if you have an Ephraim spirit following man's commands instead of God's commands, that's Hosea 12:14. Ephraim has provoked to bitter anger, so his Lord will leave his blood guiltiness on him and bring back his reproach on him. Jeremiah 31:18-19. For after I turned back, I repented, and after I was instructed, I smote on my thigh. I was ashamed and also humiliated because I bore the reproach of my youth. And then turning your back on God rather than your face to God. You know, you don't have to go like this to God. You know, you in your spirit man, you can turn your back on God. And then another one is drawing back and taking refuge in flight, running from God. Jeremiah 46:5. Another one is Moab in her pride and apostasy and drunkenness has not turned back to the Lord. The spirit of Moab is the spirit of apostasy. It's the spirit of pride. And when I have pride, I'm following after Satan without realizing it because he's king over all the sons of pride. That's Jeremiah 48:39. And then God tells Esau to turn back and quit living after the flesh. And that's a picture of church members that want to live after the flesh. Esau sold his birthright for the flesh. Jeremiah 49:8. Flee away, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan, and I'll bring the disaster of Esau upon you at the time I punish him. And then casting God behind our back, Ezekiel 23:35. Because you've forgotten me and cast me behind your back, bear now the punishment of your lewdness and your harlotry. You see, when we pray a prayer to receive Jesus as Savior, we're going to be the bride of Christ. And if our heart goes after other lovers, we've committed spiritual adultery against our bridegroom Jesus. And that's apostasy. Not returning to your first love, Hosea 2:7. And that Nahum 2:1 says, repentance strengthens your back. And then Malachi 2:6 says, we're to turn people back from their iniquity. Being people that are thermostats in people's lives to turn them back. And then demanding back what's yours. Luke 6:30 says, give to everyone who asks for you and whoever takes what is yours, don't demand it back. Putting your hand to the plow and looking back. You're not worthy to be his servant. Luke 9:62. And then Galatians 4:9 says, after he delivers you and saves you, don't turn back to the weak and the worthless elemental things and be enslaved all over again. Galatians 4:9. And then in Hebrews 10:38-39, it talks about the righteous ones don't shrink back. And then James 5 says, turning a person back from his sin will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And then the promises of obeying the Lord is that our children will be blessed. And I'm discovering that if I want my children to change, I'm having to change the things I've done, the things I've judged my mother and father for. My children do the very same things I did. Mm-hmm. Or I did the same things they're doing that's bothered me. So stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you what he let you hear all of that for. What you need to repent. Because you know the Spirit of God can pull out something that I never intended. The Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Show me everything in my life that I need to repent of. And thank you for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. A river in the desert. And when you're through repenting, if you'll just sit down, then, and sister, when you're through, since you have a baby in your lap, put your hands up. What is her name? But whenever you, since you're holding a baby, no, oh, you're not holding a baby. Okay, so just sit down when you're through. I thought you had a baby in your lap. Just sit down when you're through repenting.
Praise you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord. Lord, forgive me for all the times that I've let the sun go down on my anger. Lord, I pray from this day forward, if I'm even frustrated, I'll deal with it. Because frustration is an acceptable, or in the world's eyes, acceptable form of anger. I've not been an angry, blow-up person, but I have been a frustrated person. So, Lord, forgive me. And, Lord, I forgive every person you've shown me that I've been holding unforgiveness toward. And, Lord, these turkeys in my face, I have not been able to get over my unforgiveness because I need to forgive my mother and father and those who've hurt my forefathers. I forgive every person who has ever spoken an evil word to me or an evil word to my forefathers or who's hurt me or touched me or my forefathers or hurt my forefathers in an ungodly way. And Lord, forgive me for having a fainting spirit and receiving a root of bitterness. Lord, I ask you to show me every negative thing about my mother and father that has caused me to believe a lie that you're the same way. Show me every negative thing about my mother and father and my forefathers that would cause me to think that it's my husband getting on my last nerve instead of an area that I haven't forgiven my mother and father in. Forgive me for giving up, wanting to give up, wanting to turn back, wanting to quit, wanting to bail out, and wanting a divorce every time there's a problem. Lord, I don't overcome that way. Forgive me for dishonoring my mother and father. Forgive me for not forgiving them. For their poor stewardship of me. In Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name, every place where my life is not going well, I don't know how to do this, y'all. She did? That's where I put it and it got louder. Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do to make it quit squealing. Does anybody know? Let her squeal. Praise you, Lord. And so, Lord, forgive me for all the times as a little child that I let the sun go down on my anger. And, Lord, if it's a demon making this squeal, we bind up every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ is Lord in Jesus' name. Praise you. Is it too loud? Maybe it's too loud, Laura. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Pray now, then. Is it still on?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Maybe if I stand right here, I won't move. Lord, forgive me.
For
all the times as a child, when my parent didn't train me up in the way I should go. Lord, I didn't know to forgive them. And I turned to promises I made myself that when I grow up, life's going to be different. Lord, I didn't know it, but I turned to a false God. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive every person who's put burdens on my back and on the backs of my forefathers. I forgive my mother and father and forefathers for wounding their children's spirit. Lord, I ask you to press them out, bandage them, and soften them with oil, and I bind up their broken heart, and I ask you to come now and heal their wounded spirit. And Lord, I renounce the spirit of Leviathan, the spirit of pride that's come down on me through occult forefathers, through pride, through forefathers who lived after the flesh. I just cut him from my back. Lord, forgive me for backsliding, backstabbing. I forgive everybody that has stabbed me in the back. Betrayed me. Now pull out knives of betrayal. I pull them out in Jesus' name. And Lord, forgive me for laying down and making my back a sidewalk. I forgive every person who's put burdens on my back and the backs of my forefathers. I forgive the Pharisees for tying heavy burdens on my back and not being willing to lift a finger to help me. Forgive me for being a Pharisee. Just religious. You know how you know you're a Pharisee? If you nitpick everybody. Nitpicking spirit, nitpicking people is a religious spirit. I saw this recently when we had, I was in a group of people, and there was this lady in there that was very anointed, spoke prophetically, probably the boldest person I've ever known. I mean, I would look like my boldness is about like that. Somebody prophesied that God was going to give her more boldness. I thought, oh dear God, she already appalls people. She's so bold. But that's good, because you know the prophets of God, they appall people by their boldness. But anyway, I saw a bunch of people in that group just nitpick her to death because she was different. She had the courage to prophesy and to speak God's word. And there was a bunch of Pharisees in that group that didn't like it. And I saw, you know what? That nitpicking spirit is just a religious spirit. Those people need to get saved. So, Lord, forgive me for being a Pharisee. Forgive me for nitpicking people. And, Lord, I forgive the people that have nitpicked me. I forgive every person who has beat me or my forefathers with whips, rods, instruments, who has verbally abused me or my forefathers, physically abused me or my forefathers, mentally abused me or my forefathers, and sexually abused me or my forefathers. I forgive everyone for not supporting me. God, forgive me for that idol. I've been looking for a human to support me, and you are the support. And Lord, I forgive my parents for not being to me what they needed to be, so I could grow up strong and be able to cope with emotional difficulties. Lord, forgive me for feeling burdened emotionally. You said to cast all of my burdens on you, and you would sustain me. Forgive me for being frustrated. I forgive every person that has ridden my back and the backs of my forefathers. In the name of Jesus, I cut them off of my back. I cut those burdens off my back. I forgive everyone that's made me the scapegoat. God, forgive me for looking back, turning back. God, forgive me for breaking your covenant, turning back in fear, clinging to the nations, marrying non-believers, associating with non-believers, which would cause me to have a whip to my sides, thorns in my eyes, and me to perish. God, forgive me that I've been following the leader and the leader hadn't been you. Forgive me, Lord, for following a leader instead of you and you in that leader. Lord, forgive me for turning back and not following you fully. Forgive me for turning back before overcoming my enemies. Forgive me for casting you behind my back. Forgive me for being angry at you, raging against you, and forgive me for my arrogance, which would cause you to put a hook in my nose, a bridle in my lips, and me to be turned back. Now I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut that hook out and I cut that bridle off their lips in the name of Jesus. I take the thorns out of their sides, the pricks out of their eyes in Jesus' name. Forgive me, Lord, that evil has been sweet to my mouth. Forgive me for being the enemy of your children, which would cause me to get turned back. Forgive me for turning back to folly. And forgive me for being like Ephraim, turning back in the day of battle. Would you remove the flowers from my back? Forgive me for being a fool. Forgive me for lacking understanding. Forgive me for having a foolish mouth. God, forgive me for holding back what's justly due. Forgive me for not disciplining my children. And I forgive my mother and father for not disciplining me. Forgive me for turning back in the day of distress, being stubborn, stiff-necked, wise in my own eyes, drawing back. Forgive me for not being a disciple, not abiding in your word, not loving others, and not bearing fruit. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being disobedient and turning back. Forgive me for fearing man more than I feared you. Forgive me for holding back from telling people about their sin. Forgive me for saying to an idol, "You're my father," and turning back my back on you instead of my face to you. Down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life from these things I've confessed in Jesus' name. And I just take the rods off their back in Jesus' name. I pull out knives. of betrayal. I command spirits of Leviathan, spirits of pride, spirits of Ephraim, spirits of Moab, go now, spirits of apostasy, bitterness, unbelief, doubt. In Jesus' name, I command all spirits of hurt, pain, grief, sadness, sorrow, pain, vexation, hurt, wrath, provocation, out in Jesus' name. All spirits of fear, all backsliding spirits have to go in Jesus' name. All spirits that came in through letting the sun go down on their anger, out. All spirits that came in through fear of man, making their back a sidewalk, come out now in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.